Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's Show. And tonight's gonna be kind of a mild night, I think. Maybe a little bit rambunctious, maybe not. We've had our 1st of July in Canada, and today we're gonna have the 4th of July in America. This is supposed to be a resounding reminder that we are an independent country, respectively. And yet, I don't see us having any real independence. Not really. I'm not sure the initial idea of being a free society would lead to a globalization of the planet, free trade that would allow foreign nationals and foreign countries to dominate another country fiscally. Free trade was a real dandy of an idea. Imagine this concept. Before, in order to invade a country, you would have to arm it and go in with military hardware and cost to subjugate a people to comply to whatever form of government you want to bring in there. A parliamentary position, system, a communistic system, a socialistic system, a democracy, a capitalistic democracy, whatever. Now it's all done nice and neat, signing treaties and agreements. And if you say something against the country you've agreed with, for instance, New Zealand, the thing they got there that represents the WEF over there, is now making some strong statements against China. Now, in order for New Zealand to have a trade agreement with China, they have to basically kiss China's ass. That's just the way it works. You want to have a free trade agreement, and you got to do things the Chinese way. Because they're in an influential position of power and finances, they were able to do this. They're not in that position anymore. Their position is actually weakened. But because they've taken over everything before they got to the point where they are at now, in order to do business with China, basically you got to kiss the Chinese government's ass. It's just the way it works. And that's business as usual, really. That's the way it was when the United States was creating free trade agreements all over the world. You'd have to kiss America's ass. It's just the way it worked. Just how it works, you know. He who has the gold rules. That's the golden rule. That's the real golden rule in this matrix bubble. He who has the gold rules. So as a result, we are now in a perplexed system across the planet where anybody who's got any kind of fiscal power can now dominate any country on the planet. The WEF right now is dominating a good part of Europe, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, a good part of Africa. And Russia is also part of the WEF as well. I mean, Klaus has mentioned Putin many a time. So what we're seeing going on in the Ukraine and with Russia basically is nothing but a staging of events. And actually, there was something I wanted to play a couple shows ago. I keep forgetting to play it, and I'm going to play it now because it goes along the lines that I said that this is going to be nothing but another Vietnam, another Afghanistan situation in the Ukraine, and the people of Ukraine will wind up eventually being, you know, by the time they join the European Union, there's not going to be much left. They will be kissing everybody's ass. It's like, because now everybody's lending them $30 billion to fight a skirmish with Russia, and that's designed to, again, to further escalate Russia's crash of the ruble. This is about weakening Russia economically. So let me see if I got the right one here. Nope, wrong one. Okay, where'd it go? You missed. I just had this thing earlier. Where'd it go? Oh, here it is. The goal is an endless. Okay, let me play this. This came out of Ireland. I may have played it. I don't recall. There's so many shows I've been doing. But I don't think I played this one. I like this woman's ferocity, because she is stating this correctly. This is something you don't normally hear. But this is basically, this is a rerun, and we're all living a rerun. Let me play this. Hold on. Here we go.
Thanks, President. The goal is an endless war, not a successful war. Those were the words of Julian Assange in 2011 in relation to the war in Afghanistan. Words which could now equally apply about Ukraine. Ukraine should absolutely be able to join the EU, but on terms that don't bankrupt its people, and when it's ready, and when a majority of its people choose. But that certainly will not be happening while the country is an active war zone, and everybody knows it. So instead, we're artificially prolonging this war with a steady flow of heavy weapons, attacking peace efforts as appeasement. The EU is guaranteeing a stalemate and ensuring that Ukraine will never be able to choose its own path. President von der Leyen gave the game away last Friday when she said Ukrainians are ready to die for the European perspective. My God, what a deluded narcissist. The real plan here, we know candidate status is bait in a trap. The real plan is to transform Ukraine into a meat grinder, use its people as cannon fodder in an endless proxy war against Russia, with the European taxpayer footing one bill after another for the arms industry. There's nothing to celebrate in that.
And you know what? It's absolutely correct. I've been saying for the last, what, 6-7 months, Canada's pissing money out of this country like it's water. What, $250 million to Rwanda, $350 million to the Ukraine. You know, we must have given over $2 trillion to the Ukraine alone. And this has all been done through signing agreements, free trade agreements. In this case, the Ukraine wanting to join the European Union. And Russia already feeling threatened by NATO forces surrounding Russia. And NATO then was in Afghanistan, you know, supplying the poppy to China, making sure that the poppy was getting to China. Chinese wanted to take it over. United States left all that military hardware in Afghanistan. I forget to what the tune of how many millions of dollars. You think that was all done as a means of being sloppy? That was all done to leave those weapons behind, so whoever was going to take over, or maybe be able to funnel those weapons to the Ukraine, they knew what they were doing. This is nothing new for most of us who've been around. We've seen the same old shit over and over again. This is the only difference. This is a different day and a different channel, but it's the same crap. Now under free trade, China can now dominate the world without firing one bullet. Not one bullet, because the rule of law is what prevails in these agreements. And you know, and Harper sold Canada right down the toilet. Gave us right to China. Now we have to comply to the Chinese system and become more Chinese in our trade with China, which nobody talked to us about. And I don't know why this was not a referendum concept here in Canada. Because most Canadians would have told the Prime Minister to go chuck Hugh Farley. Well, he's not really a Prime Minister. He's actually, you know, a leader of the WEF in Canada. He represents the WEF, doesn't represent Canadians. The old one sock over there, you know, he bows to the Queen, bows to Kloss, but as far as when it comes to Canada, hell, he'll just take money out and give it to somebody else. Meanwhile, Canadians in this country are becoming more homeless by the day. Have you noticed that? More Canadians today cannot afford to buy a house in Canada. Canadians. Yet we'll open the door to anybody that comes along. The government will subsidize these people to be in a house, put them in government jobs, and remove Canadians that are already there in those jobs, and then profess that the Canadians complain that it's white privilege and they have to balance the equation. It's all bullshit, all of it. But this is the nature of what we live in today. First, they sold us on the idea of multiculturalism. And nobody really is against anybody coming over from another country to immigrate to Canada to find a better way of life, and including the United States. Nobody's really against that. If you can come to the country and contribute to the country in any way, shape, or form and make your life better, hey, everybody's invited. That's the way it works. That's the way it should be. But in these situations that are going on today, free trade's allowing countries like the United States, China, Russia, Germany, France, the United Kingdom, India, to be able to exert their financial status, influence other countries, and take them over. The United States was notorious for this back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They were putting countries in debt, putting them under the IMF, forcing them to buy their American products, American dairy, which are loaded with genetically modified products, or rice, and everything else these countries were using. They had to buy so much of it from the United States in order to pay off the debt to the IMF. And whatever they produced, if they exceeded their quota, they had to dump it into the ground. That was going on. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed except the players at the top. Musical chairs. Now we have the WEF coming in. And I put a map up here tonight. I want everybody to see how we are coming into famine. The planet is literally on fire. When you look at South America and you look at Africa and other parts of the world, all northern Canada right into Alaska, fire everywhere. Fire is everywhere. Now you can explain some of the fires as maybe, you know, factories or whatever, but the bloody planet is on fire. Now when I see something of that magnitude on a map, my thinking goes along these lines. Who set the fires? Who put the fire, who turned the gas on? Who lit the match? And where are these fires burning? Well, Brazil is on fire. Brazil is a major, major economic country with all kinds of resources. And it's a major farming country that exports, again, food to the world. It's on fire. The United States, the southern part of the United States is on fire. Most of South America is on fire. And South America is also a farming country that, you know, farms cattle and crop and exports that to the world. And you got Central Africa, you know, between North and South. It's on fire. Imagine that. Country that's already impoverished, a continent that's already impoverished has been lit up on fire. And you can see right across Europe, Russia, China, all over the world, fire everywhere. I find that a little bit conspiratorial. I find it a little bit suspect. I find that a little bit non-coincidental. There's been a major assault on the food supply chain throughout the world. Now the Netherlands are also complaining and now protesting because of the price of the nitrogen required to fertilize the soil, and they shut down the border. Europe is also going to start. A buddy of mine from Croatia was talking to me yesterday, and he was saying to me that they dropped this ice rain in the middle of their summer and destroyed their crop. This is going on globally. When I read that maybe the cattle in Kansas had an mRNA, I find that a little bit hard to, you know, buy into. Because they already put antibiotics into the cattle's feed anyway. But the amount of cattle that they killed, it would be too coincidental that they all died at once. Imagine that. They all died at once. That many. It really is something for them to present the stuff they present in the media and expect us to believe the bullshit. In today's time and with today's technology, you know, like tomorrow, the 5th of July, they're going to turn on the Hadron Collider and the And they're going to turn it on at a maximum power like we've never seen before. So what's that going to do to the Earth? You know, we really don't know. Somehow, the scientists of this world can do whatever they want on a global level that can affect anybody on the planet, anywhere on the planet. We don't know if this may shift tectonic plates. We don't know if it may alter the tilt the axis the opposite way. We don't know what this is going to do. And there hasn't really been a whole lot of discussion about this either as to the reason why they're doing it. So they're going to turn on basically a super magnet that is stronger than the magnetic field of the Earth, and we're going to now see the response of their action. Kind of makes you go, And I noticed another thing. There are more distractions going on. Have you noticed that lately? The United States sent about $850 million worth of hardware to the Ukraine, and now they're targeting Russian targets and hitting the targets, and they're making such a big deal about this shit. Yet nobody's talking about the planet being on fire. You'll see what I'm talking about when you look at the map. There are things going on this planet on a planetary scale that we're not seeing because the media is redirecting us to see something else. And when we're looking at we used to talk about back in the 60s and 70s, the terminology was called ecology. We're looking at the ecological health of the planet. That word changed and became environmental. But the ecosystem was always being looked at as something we needed to keep clean, to clean up. And yet we have fires going right across the planet. I was looking at another map, a radar map, looking at the sulfuric oxide and the nitric oxide across the United States and Canada. From Saskatchewan across to BC, they're heavily, heavily loaded. From California to South Carolina, they're heavily loaded. Another name for sulfuric oxide and nitric oxide is acid rain. And Ronald Reagan and Brian Mulroney signed a treaty back in the mid-1980s to curtail acid rain. And yet I'm looking up in these monitors and these radar maps, and I see a shitload of sulfuric oxide and nitric oxide across North America. It makes you wonder. Yet we're not talking about this anymore. Do you know why? Because the globalists or the so-called leaders basically do not want to cause financial duress to these companies that are polluting so heavily. And these would be your coal plants. These would be some of your manufacturing plants. These would be some of your power producing plants. You know, and nothing, not a damn thing. And now we're going to be using lithium batteries to power up these cars. Another ecological disaster waiting to happen. An environmental clusterfuck. This is really astounding that we are looking at all this stuff. And now we're talking about Starlink being up there and it's going to be faster and more better to transmit, blah-da-dee and blah-da-da. Makes me wonder if Starlink is causing the fires on the planet. Makes me wonder. Makes me wonder now how much more secure people are going to feel that every move they make, every step they take, they'll be watching you. It's a song. Remember that song? You know, imagine that. Imagine that. The eye in the sky. Imagine that. Now I'm going to play something here. Hold on one second. Might bring back some memories.
I'll be waiting.
Does that sound like predictive programming? Somebody wrote me something from Australia, and they wanted to know what they could do to block facial recognition. So I said to her, I said, there is no way you can really block it because they don't need facial recognition to identify you anymore. They can target you with any kind of beam, any kind of 6G frequency or 5G, and they can, you know, with all that they got, they can target, you know, they can see who you are just by the way you stand, by the way you walk, by the way you dress, by the way you move. Unless you're in some sort of tunnel or cave that can block frequencies like an iron base or copper base, they can monitor you anywhere. Li-Fi, Wi-Fi, you name it. Streetlights are loaded with 5G technology designed for just that purpose, for body recognition. So we're no longer in that realm of privacy that we once think we had. And basically everyone surrendered that right when they got a cell phone. Everybody surrendered that option of freedom of privacy when they gave it away. You know, oh, I have to have a cell phone. I have to have it. I have to be able to keep in touch. I have to be able to expect a phone call any moment in time. That was a surrendering of your entitlement to your privacy. You no longer have that. And by the way, they're doing what they're doing today with all the distractions. And the destruction of the planet is going on right now, right as I'm talking, without anybody being aware, because they're too busy wanting to chit chat on a cell phone, wanting to watch a little television show, wanting to be able to go to do whatever they want to do, not realizing that underneath their very feet, the planet is being decimated, so that in the not too distant future, we're going to probably see civil unrest like we've never seen before. Imagine a country like Canada doesn't have enough food to eat. Imagine the civility of this country going to hell in a handbasket because there's not enough food to eat, and what little is there, people are going to fight for scraps. Imagine that. Imagine the United States. Same thing. We already got a certain level of poverty already going on in these countries. We already got a certain level of people homeless in these countries. We already have in these countries people are being denied. Canadians, now I'm not talking, Canadians are being denied access to help and assistance by the government because this is what we paid our taxes to have a social network to be able to help each other in case we go through tough times. But that money isn't going to be there for Canadians because the government of Canada is pissing it out the door as fast as they can while they're burning the country across the north and across the world. Something to really think about. You know, like I said, who are they representing? When we're looking at all the things that have been happening across the planet and all the wonderful events that are occurring in our lifetime and the changes that are going on, from even the genetics that we're dealing with today. You know, back in the 60s and 70s, we're talking about genetically engineering the food or genetically modified organisms that we're putting into the food. And nobody had the long-term perspective of what would happen if we actually kept eating these things for a prolonged period of time. Nobody was thinking that the long-term accumulative effect of consuming genetically engineered or genetically modified organisms that could then get into the body's DNA and affect changes over a period of time. Endocrine disrupting chemicals being sprayed on these GMO foods, soy, glyphosates being sprayed on them, nanosilver being sprayed on them, and then on top of that, chemtrails falling down from the sky. Now, a lot of people contact me about Morgellons, and I don't deal with Morgellons. I never have, never will. I never bought into the Morgellon perspective. I've always bought into the perspective of nanotechnology, nanobiotech, nanobio infections. And I've often looked at the concept of the agrobacterium perspective in regarding to talking about Morgellons. But see, my take on it is that the research that was done on Morgellons was done incorrectly. Because what has happened was the chemtrails, dust particles from the sky and the radioactive materials like the thorium, the strontium, the uranium, and the other radioactive materials, plus the antimony, the aluminum, the titanium, the silica, the carbon, and lithium that came down from the sky, created a reactive response on the Earth to produce a bacterium or a protein where these particles had been able to embed and begin to replicate and create an anomaly or a mutation in the bacterium on the Earth. In my humblest estimation, based on what I understand about nanobiotech, there is no more gallons. We're dealing with a nano construct that's affected the biology of the planet, and in respect of the genetics that they also put into the field, genetics, the genetic engineering, the genetic modified of these organisms would have had operating systems implanted into the seeds, which would then have been left in the ground, which would have caused a reaction with the nanobiotech for them to assemble. Because for nanoparticles to assemble, they need some kind of ligand or some kind of foundation for them to accumulate, whether it be a protein, a carbon, or a lipid. And you can see the validation of what I'm saying by just going to the Rice University and look up telephoresis with nanotechnology, and you will see you don't need a high-powered electron microscope to see nanoparticles. And you can see that by attenuating a frequency on these particles that they would expand, network, and extend themselves just by frequency manipulation. When you've seen that hitting the Earth, the exact same thing was happening. Nanoparticles, nanodust, nanobiology, nanoprogramming, which is basically a fundamental program. Self-assemble, self-repair, self-replicate. It had everything it needed to do this. It could feed off light, off photonic energy, cymatic energy, magnetic fields, electricity, you name it. Anything could have powered it, even the bioelectric of the plants themselves. So when this had hit the Earth did what it normally would have done. It would have used a bacterium to break down the components into something that would become recyclable. But we know very well that if you use glyphosates on the soil, the bacteria in the soil cannot break down glyphosates. Whose dream child was this? So now you got components that the earth cannot break down. So what's happening to the bacterium and what's happening to the soil, what's happening to the biology of the planet is beginning to mutate. That's called genetic manipulation. These mutations are creating anomalies in all of us in some degree or other. Now, by consuming these nanoparticles and by being targeted with frequencies and by consuming genetically engineered foods, we now have a crisis in our DNA and our genetic code. Nobody thinks in these terms because, what the hell, it's just food. But when you weaponize food to create a destructive effect on the genetic code, then anything that you assert into a person's body will then manipulate that code even further. These injections that they gave, they even said that they were gene editing programs. Now, what is going on when you look at the bigger picture? You got nanoparticles hitting the ground, forming a mutation in the Earth with an agrobacterium that is become an anomaly, which then you're planting your seeds, whether they be organic or otherwise, which now will adapt to the soil's properties, taking on those genetic codes. If you've already got genetically engineered plants in the ground, the genetically engineered pollen will transfer itself in a course of a year over 14,000 miles. Miles, not kilometers. That's probably, 23,000 kilometers. Somewhere along those lines. and you multiply that by a 60-year time frame, that's over 600,000 miles in every direction. And some of you are, you know, say, well, we got trees and we got hills, we can block that. Yeah, bullshit. The Mexican government was planting genetically modified BT corn in a controlled environment in a certain part of Mexico where everything was fenced in. They found that same strain of genetically modified corn 1,000 miles away, 1,600 kilometers away. And it also had barriers. So when we're talking the full spectrum of what we're dealing with today and how we're dealing with today, you can no longer look at this in piecemeal. Most of you that were born in the last 20, 25 years have not eaten anything that has any real value to them. In fact, what you were eating were endocrine disrupting biology to affect your genetics. And it may have altered a lot of you in some predisposition to some form of sexuality. And then going to the educational system, they further propagated the deception by teaching you some kind of stupidity about 500 different types of entitlements that you can identify yourself in a sexual way. It's really, really ridiculous, retarded, and stupid. And when you're looking at the whole biological aspect of what has happened to you in the last 25 years, that you've been genetically engineered and genetically altered, and also have been programmed by the educational system to accept this violation of your genetic code, that takes them off the hook. That takes them completely off the hook. Everything that has happened in the last 60 years has been a propagation of war against mankind. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was talking to somebody about a concept that we basically reflect the image of God in every way. We're made after His image, after His own likeness. And the satanic rulers of this planet, the Luciferian, the living AI, hates God with a passion. Hates God and hates anything that would reflect or even have God's image in any way, shape, or form. This is what we're up against. All this science that we have been talking about isn't science. It's alchemy. It's a very dark, 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 arcane activity to alter God's creation and change it to an image of a dark, arcane imagery. We are no longer living in a realm or a world that reflects God, and the earth is losing ground drastically. The violations that are going on this planet is beyond your imagination and the scope of your mind. The fires that are burning daily on this planet, the chemtrails that are being sprayed across the globe, the high charged ionic fields that they're putting up in space with all these satellites, space fences, Alana Freeland mentioned sometimes. All these things are altering the magnetic field and the ionic fields and all the other fields that are around the planet, further exasperating the foundation of the planet. Now, the Hadron Collider is going to be turned on. Imagine that. And again, does anybody really know why we need to turn on a magnetic field or a magnetic device that is, I forget how many times stronger than the Earth's magnetic field? What is the purpose of this experiment? Just to increase the power into it? Are we opening a portal? Are we going to allow Shiva to come back into this realm of reality? Are we going to let Apollyon walk through the door? What is happening? See, these are things that we all need to be taking a hard look at. when they start deciding they're going to conduct experiments on this planet and then tell us it's for our own security, we need to ask them for a little bit more facts. How is increasing the magnetic field of a device that can alter the magnetic field of the planet for our security? What could possibly go wrong putting out that much power on the Earth? What could go wrong? You know, there's been this insane concept of destroying life. And so that a few could be in charge that have accumulated a great deal of wealth at the extent of a high level of bloodletting in order for them to be wealthy. They have bled the planet in order to acquire the wealth they have. And as you heard earlier tonight, the Ukraine concept is nothing but a meat grinder. Just like Vietnam was a meat grinder. Just like Afghanistan was a meat grinder. Just like the Middle East is becoming nothing but a meat grinder. There's never been any peace in the Middle East because they don't want it to have peace. Imagine they spent all the money on arms and destruction in the Middle East and actually developed a technology where they could have water and be able to harvest water so they could grow trees and vegetation so that they could now have a food supply of their very own. That would have been an ethical, moral, and spiritual thing to do. But instead, they spent a massive fortune destroying the Middle East. Now, irrespective of what you may think about people in the Middle East, they are still people. And whether or not they are educated, sophisticated, barbaric, they all deserve the time to evolve, just like we did. They all need that time to evolve, just like we did. But instead, what they got was nothing but money thrown at them to destroy them. Another meat grinder. How long have we been hearing about wars going on in the Middle East? Since the Second World War and even at the beginning of the 19th century. The British and the French were constantly fighting over there in the Middle East as well. There'll never be peace in the Middle East because the powers of the external forces of outside of the Middle East are creating the dynamic to keep them from evolving. Gaddafi had one of the most wealthiest countries in the Middle East. They had free education, they had free medical. Everybody in the Middle East in Libya had a home. You don't see that in America or Canada, do you? They got educated. If they had to get educated outside of Libya, they would go get educated and come back. And when you talk to them, they weren't dissatisfied. Whether you like Gaddafi or not, whether you thought Gaddafi was an asshole or not, that's irrespective. But you go look at their green book. Go look at their green book. And then tell me if America and Canada are have a democracy. He actually took the time to take care of his people. And when he challenged the Security Council 2 weeks later, that's when they took him out. This is the way it works. And you know what? If you notice in the last year or so, there have been four presidents in Africa that were taken out because they spoke out against the agenda to inject people with a gene editing program. They refused to allow their people to be subjected to that experiment. They had balls, all of them. Our president in this country and the one before here didn't have any balls at all. They had warp speed. We're going to warp speed you. Oh yeah, we're going to make sure everybody get these jobs. Warp speed. Let's throw these gene editing programs into you. Warp speed it, baby. Come on, get them in there. Americans need to wake up. They need to take a hard look at their political structure. It ain't all that shit hot. It's just as corrupt and just as bad as anybody else's, and you don't really have a leadership to choose from. When a president warp speeds a bioweapon on his own people, he doesn't give a fuck about you. And that's the bottom line. And that's what you got to start looking at. You got an idiot there now. He's an imbecile, but he's an imbecile because that's the role he's meant to play. He's not running the country. Somebody else is. The whole system that we have as a democracy in Canada and the United States, it has to be revamped. What is currently here now, it isn't working at all. Unless you believe a commander-in-chief of a presidency is okay to kill their own people. If you're okay with that, then that's fine. I'm not. When we're looking at everything, we need to really look at everything with a perspective that we, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect system, but we need to understand that what we have today is so corrupt on every level. NATO forming an alliance to, again, assault Russia. Serbia told UN Chuck U Farley. They were not going to go along with the idea of soldiering against Russia. And they were looking out to take care of their own people by buying oil from Russia and taking care of, and so that they would have food for the winter. Because they're broke. Because the United States of America decided to destroy Serbia for 14 years. And the Serbian government said that the United States should be the one apologizing to them for putting them under such duress. And they're correct. You're expecting for 14 years of abusing a country and then expecting them to, you know, go along with your ideas. They felt firsthand what it was like to not have things or to be denied access just because they had a different policy. What does democracy stand for? Choice. Decisions. Compromise, if you can work together. So they did the right thing, I think, in all honesty. I'm not a pro anything, but I see what's going on in the Ukraine. And I think, in all honesty, everybody needs to look at this war correctly. This is not about freeing Ukraine. This is not about giving Ukraine the ability to choose whether or not it wants to become part of the UN. It has nothing to do with anything. $330 billion is just being funneled through to Ukraine, probably going to pay China and Russia to be able to continue the war with Ukraine and for China to engage in the Pacific. That's what I'm seeing. It's all being done underhanded. A meat grinder is coming. Taiwan's always been the target. And who knows if North Korea decides to take out South Korea and Japan, so that China can extend its reach in the Pacific. These things can happen. These things can happen. I'm saying what I'm saying because we need to have a certain sobriety of what we're watching today, what's being propagated in the media. What is the media today? It's nothing but a bunch of government-controlled bullshit. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed at all. Nothing. Since the 60s, from the Vietnam War to all the wars between then and today, not a damn thing has changed. Just a lot of fluff, a lot of speeches, a lot of horseshit. In the name of whatever you need to tell you, so you go along with the program. Now in Canada, we have the same crazy shit going on here. I saw a picture today of Pierre Trudeau, the senior Trudeau, how he's over in China and he was basically kissing China's backside. He thought the Chinese had a great government. He wanted to have the same thing in Canada. I think he did try a little bit, but the leadership was a little bit stronger back then. The leadership had some balls back then, not today. Oh, you want us to go with China? Oh, okay. You want us to kiss the government of China's ass? Okay, we'll kiss their ass. Okay. just so we can have, so we can just buy, so we can have a Dollarama. Okay. It's incredible. It's because this is what it boils down to. We're kissing China's backs just so we can have a Dollarama and a Dollar Tree and a Walmart. Wow. What a deal. What a deal. Like I said, you know, we're, you know, and a nuclear war. I mean, how many of you are getting prepared for a nuclear war? How many are actually understanding that a nuclear war may happen? How many? How many know what to do in case of a nuclear war? Anybody have any idea what to do? Other than grab your ankles and kiss your ass goodbye, anybody else know what else you can do in case of a nuclear war? See, there is things that can be done. The one thing you don't want to do is stand by any window in case of a nuclear blast, because the shards from that glass will cut you to pieces. If you have, if you know, if you hear an explosion and you know it's nuclear, hit the ground, hit the dirt, get behind a table, behind a couch, anything. Because if the glass cuts loose from the window, you could bleed to death. The radiation from the fallout of a nuclear assault is short-lived. Within a matter of hours, it starts to diminish. Within 2 weeks to a month, it's pretty much all gone. If a nuclear reactor goes off, that's where it can last for a long, long, long time. Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, Fukushima, they had reactors that went that contaminated the area for decades because of the radiation leakage from those reactors. But when a nuclear explosion goes off, it doesn't have the same effect. It's actually very short-lived. So you can survive a nuclear fallout if you know what to do. So I put two links on here tonight. Some of the things you might want to keep around the house. Get a vitamin D that's a non-fish oil base. Don't get any fish oil vitamin D because it'll be rancid. Quercetin, iodine, borax, and baking soda. These are the things you want to keep around the house just in case there is such a thing that may go off. Because these things have a way of detoxifying any kind of radiation buildup that the body may accumulate just in case you are in a zero range hit, you know. Bomb drops right outside your door kind of thing. So these are some things you might want to read. Okay? Some things you might want to read. Other things you want to look at and think about too is volatile organic compounds. These are compounds that are in the air that can cause health issues and respiratory and other things. And when they mix with other things, they can create even a more dynamic effect on the body. We already have nanoparticles in the air. We have pollen in the air. We have vapors in the air. We got all kinds of things in the air that are even indoors in your home. They found one of the things that can actually affect these vapors or these compounds is something called hydroxyapatite. If you leave it out in the air, leave it exposed to the air, it will absorb the moisture and go airborne and clean up whatever is in the air. Calcium chloride will do the same thing, even certain salts. So they would have to be, I think, in a powdered form so they can be absorbed into the air and, again, draw out of the air these particles. So, again, this is something you may want to take a look at just in case, you know, something should go wrong. We are, like I said, the planet is on fire. Yeah, the frequencies, there's another map on the same, that map's a Wonder Bar. There's a map called windy.com. For those of you in Ontario, click on windy.com and then look at the radar. Click on the first link above and you will see that from Toronto to Ottawa, we are being beamed to death. Contacted some people in the airline industry and they contacted people in the airports. Nobody seems to know where they came from. They just started about 8 months ago. And the extent of the outreach of these frequencies can go right into Michigan, down into Ohio, and into New York. and go right across the north. So anyway, tonight I put a map out here. It's called Earth. The one you live on is being burned down. Looking at everything that we're looking at today, it just seems like the more technologically advanced we become, the more destruction falls on the Earth. That's what it appears, I have to say. So I could be wrong in my observation, but that's how it appears to me. You know. And I did put something out there also, an alternative to a firearm for keeping predators away from poultry and other livestock. You might want to check it out. It's pretty interesting. A friend of mine from my buddy in Croatia got me onto this. I said, oh, look at this. I have friends. And they show me things. And I scratch my head and go, oh, yeah. So check these things out. Okay, I think I'm going to wind it down. And hopefully you'll look at these links today. Because, you know, we are dealing with so many different things at one time. You know, genetics, DNA alterations and mutations, self-assembly of technologies that can get into the body and alter the genetic code. Injections are nothing but bioweapons. And now they're talking about monkeypox has got another genetic mutation. Oh, God, it's going to change again. We're not going to live. We're going to die. Oh, shit, give me another shot. Shot of brandy. Make it two. Brandy will kill anything. This will never go away. As long as the vaccinated who have been injected have gotten the jabs, they will continue turning on the switch, causing these mutations to occur into their bodies. And they're going to start dropping. And they're already dropping dead now. It's going to increase exponentially by the fall. You'll see. Because when we go into that, you know, weather change, and a lot of them are immune compromised, and they're going to need whatever they can use to keep them afloat. And some of them have HIV now because of the third injection. It ain't looking good. It is not looking good at all. All right. As I was saying before, I'm going to wind it down. I always say at the end of these shows, please read the Gospels. Read what Jesus had to say. Read the letters. You know, read how the church evolved. Read the book of Revelations. It's the game. It's the playbook that they're going by. You might want to read that book. You might see some correlation with the events going on today that was written way back then. And some believe that these prophecies have already occurred, which may be true. But we always had more than one reset as well. And it seems like in every reset, the same pattern has been played. So again, I would encourage you to check it out. Up at the very top of the page, there are people there. They're trying their best to help you in your health. If you can support them financially, please do so. If not, don't worry about it. Everyone understands that you've been through some tough times with the government, taking away your jobs, which they may do again come the fall with new restrictions. So, do the best you can to get back on your feet and share the show. Just share the show with your friends. Share it. All right, as I keep saying, we are still here by the grace of God. Remember that. So, till the next segment. To your health. Take care.